Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day. And we are best friends.
We are.
Yes.
And it's a special episode, listeners. Because we have our other best friends here, too.
Guest stars.
Dr. Khaleesi. Now, I said her intro was pulled up. Not her real name. The unfazed. Breaker of bad habits. Queen of the fields. Mother of sons.
Yeah. Mother of sons.
Not just that. We have Mara of the Marble Islands and Countertops.
Yay!
So, listeners, we have had a lovely and safe COVID dinner.
Yeah.
We're all in each other's bubble.
Yeah.
Thank the sweet baby Jesus.
Yes.
And we had a little wine.
I made a delicious drink. Kristen Higgins. Mm-hmm. Gin.
Yes.
What did I do? Gin.
You did gin, elderflower, lemon juice,
and champagne.
Champagne topper.
It was delicious.
And with a cucumber stick.
Yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Lest
it's the details. And then Dr. Khaleesi made minestrone soup.
Delicious.
A salad.
So good.
And because it's Mara's birthday.
Yeah.
25. It's exhausting.
I mean, you look.
You look
18.
Fabulous.
Thanks. We had coconut ice cream pie.
Oh, the best ever.
We're going to finish after this podcast.
Yeah. Higgins outdid herself. Absolutely.
So we brought in the big guns, listeners, this week because Joss and I felt a little out of depth for this letter, which is very multidimensional.
Yeah.
And why don't you go ahead and read it for us, Joss?
Okay. Hello, ladies. I'm having some troubles with one of my close friends. We've been friends for about a year and really bonded and leaned on each other through the last year. We are both college students now in our senior year together, both in our early 20s. We became very close at the beginning of last year and actually were able to see red flags in another close friend we had at the same time. So thank you, ladies, for helping us see those red flags. That's why we're here. That's why we're here.
What we did.
We would listen to your podcast and then debrief together at the end of the week.
Awesome.
You're famous.
Almost like a book club, but for podcasts. I love this so much. I value your advice and opinion so much in navigating this world of female friendships and what it means to be a good friend in adulthood. But because she might listen, I'm being somewhat vague in case she were ever to listen to this episode. She doesn't listen as regularly as I do anymore. Anyway, back to the predicament with this friend. We will call her Maggie, not her real name. Like I previously mentioned, we became close friends pre-pandemic. We were both going through personal problems, her coming out of a bad breakup, and I was dealing with an eating disorder relapse. We would vent to each other, support each other. We would have dinner together, and she really helped me through the first 3 months of the year together. When the pandemic hit, we both went home to spend the first months of the pandemic in our hometowns with our families, and we both dealt with similar issues with our families and would still lean on each other only virtually. I went on my own personal journey during the beginning of the pandemic and came out as gay, and she was one of my biggest cheerleaders in that journey with me. She has overall been a great friend to me in the last year of our friendship. However, we both changed a lot over the course of this year. Neither of us are struggling in the same ways we were at the beginning of our friendship. We both moved back to our college town, and I now am in a serious relationship and feel very lost in regard to what I'm doing after college, while she got accepted into a very prestigious program and shows no empathy to what I'm going through. The problem I'm having with Maggie is that she's very self-centered, and whenever we talk, I've started to notice that most of our conversations revolve around her. Even when I was struggling, she was able to turn the conversation to make it about her almost every time we would talk. I've now told her I don't care for the conversations that revolve around boys all the time anymore since coming out because they make me feel left out of place. Yet she continues to drone on and on about them, disregarding my feelings. I have tried to confide in her about being detached from other friends, and she has started to criticize me for being friends with them in the first place, leaving me feeling like it's my fault that I'm having these feelings. I've been struggling a lot with anxiety and my mental health during the last few months while trying to do my coursework amidst the pandemic, so I'm not talking to her as often as a result. She calls me a lot, and in the last 2 months, I've dodged most of her calls because conversations with her have turned into her trauma and info dumping all her problems onto me, and it makes my anxiety shoot through the roof. Our last interaction in person together was a socially distant picnic, and the conversation was very one-dimensional and, again, mostly about her. When she would ask me about how I was doing, she wasn't really listening and would just wait until I finished talking before making the conversation about her again. I tried venting to her about my struggles and worries about graduating, and it almost seemed like she was rubbing her program acceptance into my face and had a very sucks-to-be-you attitude about it. I want to salvage my relationship with Maggie, but after writing out all of these issues that I'm having, I'm not sure I really want to anymore. If there was anyone else treating me this way, I would have started the friendship fadeaway and slowly stopped talking to them. But because we've had this journey of supporting each other, I feel guilty to even think about doing that. Another thing I should add about Maggie is that she's very sensitive. So if I were to be too forward with her about the issues we're having in our friendship, she would internalize it and make me out to be the bad guy in some way. How would you ladies suggest I go forward with Maggie? Should I suck it up and lay out my feelings for her, risking her feelings, or should I start to fade away despite my guilt? Or is there another option that you would suggest? Thanks in advance, signed, Conflicted Girl. It's a good one.
Yeah, there's a lot there.
A lot of layers.
That's why we brought in the professional Dr. Khaleesi, not her real name, but her real PhD in psychology, an active therapist. So why don't you share some of your thoughts, Dr. Khaleesi?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on here
Conflicted Girl.
Conflicted Girl. I'm going to call you CG because I want to. Okay, so for CG, there's so many different pieces of this that you know, it's no wonder that you're feeling overwhelmed and disconnected and like the world doesn't really make all that much sense anymore. You know, first things first, as we talked about earlier tonight, the pandemic is good for no one. Mm-hmm. There's nothing good, nothing useful about the pandemic. But it sounds like on this friendship, you're not feeling very heard. And I think that's an important piece of it that we talked about.
Yeah, when you tell a friend your problems and anxieties, you want more than a back to me.
Back to me, yep.
Right. Yes. So some of what we want to, you know, have a look at is, you know, on the one hand, you're saying you don't really know if you care enough about the friendship to make this happen or make it work. On the other hand, you wrote.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So
and
there's
she says,
something.
You know, if it was anyone but Maggie, I would know what to do.
Yes.
Right. So, you know, one of the things that we want to kind of, I actually wrote a whole bunch of notes, so you just have to be a little bit patient with me.
It's true.
CG.
She's
I have like two
up
pages.
A page and a half.
I have a page and a half on this. Because we hear you. Listen,
yes.
CG, we're listening. So, you know, a couple of different parts are happening. You know, one of them is that you have this friend whose life is coming together for her at a time when you don't know what you're doing. You're not sure where your life is going to go. You don't have that sense of purpose in the same way that she does. And one of the few things that you have figured out recently is about your identity. And it feels like, you know, like Maggie's been a good cheerleader and supportive of it, but she's still interested in talking about things the way you used to. You know, Maggie still likes boys.
Yeah.
And boys are what she's going to probably want to talk about because that's the kind of thing that she used to talk about with you. That doesn't necessarily mean that she doesn't still love you or care about you. It's just that that's...
Yeah, you're leaning on the familiar.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
And her, Maggie's issues with boys are still an ongoing issue in her life that she has not yet figured out.
Right.
You are in a serious, committed relationship. You've figured out, you know, that you're gay and you've come out and you know, that's a huge life event, too.
Huge.
So, like,
yeah.
This has been a year for you, CG.
Yeah.
You know, we've got
it
school,
has.
The pandemic, oh, this relatively new friendship.
You've having come, to live at home again,
having
briefly.
To go back to home. And then coming out and finding, you know, a love for yourself. A lot has happened to you.
Plus, right. She's had eating disorder relapse, and
yeah.
She's got some anxiety going on.
Right.
So there's a lot
right.
there.
A lot.
Yeah.
There's
so
a lot.
It just to take a minute to say, this has been a very tumultuous year for you, and it's been a lot for everyone. You're not alone in that. And, you know, your feelings are not invalid.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right. I think that's really important. The other thing that we've kind of talked about, because we were kind of, you know, we struggled with this a little bit too. How much energy and effort do you want to put into this friendship? Is there going to be a payout for you, you know, down the road? One of the things we were thinking about together was the fact that you bonded over a certain set of difficulties. You guys connected together. We call it trauma bonding. When you are going through similar experience and you connect with each other, it can be very, very intense. And especially when you're, you know, living in a different place, you're connecting together, you have similar issues. That can be a really, really intense bond. But when the trauma, the specific trauma that brought you together, the bad relationship or the eating disorder, not knowing who you were, you know, as those things pass, you might find that the relationship doesn't have quite as much substance as you had hoped.
Mm.
But there's ways to find out, and that's what we're here to help you with. So we have ideas. You know, we are big in Crappy Friends about talking to your friends. You know.
Go figure. Right?
Like, imagine that. You said that you have mentioned to her a number of times, you know, that you don't care for conversations specifically about her boy problems and so on. But one of the things that you might try with her that that might be useful is to give her sort of a boundaried time to talk about the things that bother her.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if she wants to talk about guy problems, you could say something along the lines of, oh, do you just need to vent about boys for a few minutes?
Mm-hmm.
The nice thing about that is it puts an end time on it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or, for example,
yeah.
Say, you know, I would love to hear about what you're going through, and then I really need to confide
exactly.
in you.
That's
yeah.
a beautiful,
yeah.
beautiful way of saying
yeah.
it.
I love
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's because that's a way of being assertive. Without being aggressive,
yeah.
without being passive aggressive.
But you're saying, I want to hear about your issues and I want you to hear about mine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so you're validating her issues and you're also saying, and I need you as a friend
mm-hmm.
because you're important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I think exactly the way Kristen just said that, if you can use the word and
yes.
instead of but,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
that's really helpful because you can say, you know, I love you, I care about your problems and... I also have needs here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Mara, you had something very thoughtful and insightful to say, given this past year plus that we have been enduring.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
been kind of a shit bomb for everybody, right?
No kidding.
On some level or another. But Conflicted Girl, what kind of came to my attention was you have struggled with an eating disorder, as have I. You know, an eating disorder is about control, and there's got to be a level of depression there, and that doesn't make the path to the future any clearer when you're trying to work through that. But what's been incredibly helpful for me has been getting on an anti-anxiety, antidepressant medication. Mm-hmm. And I'm not here to push any drugs at you, but I want to tell you, it's definitely been like a salve for my emotions, and you can, and I've come through it stronger, and what's important gets a lot clearer when you take the hypersensitive emotions out of it.
Mm.
And I think you'll definitely be able to work through this. And, you know, compared to those of us sitting at this table, you're quite young. So you've definitely got time. Senior year in college is incredibly stressful.
Yeah.
And then throw on a pandemic and then this flailing friendship. And then you finally come into your own where love is concerned and finding a partner and what's important to you. But that would be my two cents is maybe don't discount that. For me, a long time, it was sort of like, why can't I manage this? Why am I so burdened by this? Why does this trouble me so much? Mm-hmm. Maybe a problem with a friend or a family member, I just would perseverate on it. And once I got myself on a management plan under the supervision of a psychiatrist,
mm-hmm.
I can manage things better.
Yeah.
And I can't really, you might have to tweak that, and you may not elect to go that route because you are still in your early 20s, presumably. But that has been extremely helpful to me. And also, you know, an eating disorder will rear its ugly head time and again.
Mm-hmm.
And that hasn't plagued me as a result of the antidepressant, and there's different kinds out there.
I think therapy, you know, Josh and course. I every week recommend.
Yes. We all have therapists.
Dr. Khaleesi also has for therapy, being a therapist. But I do think that Mara has such a good point of when you are depressed, when you have anxiety, things feel so personal,
mm-hmm.
you know, and mm-hmm. you're triggered by things like, you know, Maggie called me and all she wanted to talk about was boys, and that means she doesn't care about me, and
mm-hmm,
and what am I doing in this friendship, and it just
am I not worth it, am I a loser, I couldn't get into that program, does she even care, is she a real friend?
You get into these thought spirals and you can't get out of them, and I agree that therapy, sometimes medication, can really kind of clarify that for you. Mm-hmm. Where you think, like, she, you know, maybe Maggie's just being a person.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
talking about the mm-hmm. things that are on her mind. That being said,
mm-hmm.
there were some things that concerned me in this relationship. Now, it was an intense relationship at first, CG, but you've only known her a year.
That's true.
And as intense as that is, Joss and I like to talk about the vetting program, as you know,
yes.
listener. You're still finding out who she is, and she's still finding out who you are. So there may be red flags that you're seeing in her. Does, you know, is she self-centered, or is it, you know, you being maybe a little bit oversensitive or just overwhelmed with this year? Is it a combination of both? Is it something that can be fixed? You know, those are questions that you're going to have to answer with Maggie, and make your own judgments about that. I am always wary of people who seem to wait till you're done talking just so they can talk about themselves.
Yes.
You're trying to be a good listener.
Yeah. You know, if someone says like, that sounds hard. Anyway, and back to me, you know, I can't really tell from the letter if that's what Maggie does.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's what she's always done, or has it only popped up?
I don't think she's always done it. You
exactly.
say she was your biggest cheerleader and so supportive, and you're coming out and everything.
You know, the other thing, CG, that we noticed in the letter is that you, you mentioned that you had kind of lost contact with most of your other friends too, or that you felt detached from a lot of people. And I think that's an important thing to pay attention to. In my professional work, you know, a lot of people have talked about that feeling of like being so isolated that things don't feel real, or relationships that you're having only by Zoom don't seem as solid or as real or as genuine as they had been. And I think the pandemic is a huge strain on even the best relationships. Yeah. But if it was just Maggie, then we would say, you know, okay, yeah, maybe there's this, but it sounds like you're having a lot of doubts about a lot of things. Mm. And so, you know, I would encourage you to think thoughtfully about that. That said, sometimes we have friends that are more self-centered. Yeah. You know?
And sometimes they're worth it.
Yeah. Yes. Sometimes they are. And yes. Maybe I have a friend who only calls me when she needs things. Mm-hmm. And yet she's charming and delightful and I love her. And
Is it me?
Yes. Yes. We were going to talk assertively about it later, but yeah. No. I know that when she calls, it's because she needs something for me, and at the same time, that's okay.
Know that because you've been friends for 20 years.
Because I've been friends for a really long time with her, and it's just how some things are.
Yeah.
But I don't expect her to be a different person than that. Right. And I think that's where a friendship can be difficult. If Maggie needs a lot of supervision, I guess, to get back to listening to you, it's really going to be to you to decide if you want to put that effort in.
And, you know, I mean, as Mara said, we are all probably old enough to be your mom at this table. So we know that when you are 23 or so, you're still coming into yourself as an adult, and you still are learning how to make judgments about people. It's okay to be uncertain and conflicted. Mm-hmm. You know, it's normal. It's how you learn. And the fact that you don't have a clear life plan right now,
it's okay.
It's
really okay.
So okay, honey. Mm-hmm. You know,
I don't know how many of us are doing what we thought we would be doing.
Yeah. Oh, totally not.
No, I'm not.
And you cannot measure your journey against somebody else's.
No. So true.
No way.
So true.
Yeah, and
that
you know,
is so destructive.
Her journey she's just getting started on, is it the right path for her? Only time will tell.
Mm-hmm.
Right now it seems like she's got her shit together and you don't. Mm-hmm. But look at what you've done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've managed to continue your studies. You've come out. Mm-hmm. You've formed a solid relationship.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
You've done great.
Yeah.
And you're still evolving.
Mm-hmm.
So cut yourself some slack
and
give yourself some credit. And as Mara said, don't compare yourself against her.
Yeah.
You know, her graduate program or whatever it is might be fabulous, and it might be just the first thing she grabbed at and not the right thing for her.
Well, the other thing, and I think we can all speak to this, friends have various levels of success, you know, and you know, some of us are, you know, we're all doing different things, and my writing isn't where your guys' writing is. I would love for it to be, but it isn't yet. But, you know, maybe think a little bit about if you are feeling bad about the conversations that you're having with Maggie about her program, maybe be thoughtful about if you're feeling bad about her being successful, if she's really rubbing your face in it, or is it just something that you have a wish that isn't being fulfilled at this time?
Yeah, there's this wonderful saying of pay attention to the people who cheer when you succeed. I wonder what it would do to Maggie if you said to her, Maggie, I am so proud and impressed by you. This is going to be fantastic. I'm really excited to hear how it goes. Rather than saying, she knows what her future is going to be like and I don't.
Right.
Because in that way, you're being the self-centered one. Her success in this area is a reflection on your lack of clarity of where you'll go, rather than celebrating her success. So you want to be the friend who cheers for her and lifts her up and is proud of her. I think
Mara said that so beautifully with the like, don't set yourself up against somebody else.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. It's absolutely true.
It's just so detrimental to your own psyche. And, you know, you're already beating yourself up over so many other things yeah. to begin with.
And being your age, you know, you live in that world of connection through social media, mm-hmm. which is not real life. Mm-hmm. It's very easy to compare yourself and find yourself lacking when you're yes. looking at, like, Bella Hadid's Instagram feed or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And just, like, points for me, who knowing who Bella Hadid is.
I'm really impressed.
I was going to say. I'm very impressed.
I've heard that name. Yeah, I've heard that name.
Very impressed. I just want to say a couple things to CG, Conflicted Girl. I love the way that Kristen reframed how you could think of your friend's graduate program and what you're doing in your life. Therapy makes doing that a lot easier. That's what therapy is all about.
Yeah. Reframing.
Is reframing mm-hmm. and those boundaries. And you
boundaries is great.
Have so much going on. You just came out. You're still dealing with your eating disorder. You've got anxiety going on. I'd like you to be a little bit easier on yourself.
Yeah.
And take better care
right.
of yourself.
So self-care can sound really cliche.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
But oh my God, you need to do self-care.
Yes. Yes.
And, you know, I mean, I think everyone in the world should see a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, and if at all possible, Dr. Khaleesi.
If at all possible.
but I just think that it's a way to look at the patterns that you have in your life, the self-defeating ones, the mm-hmm. successful ones, moments when you felt successful and strong and happy, and moments when you don't, and the people who lift you up and the people who bring you down. And, you know, you don't have to be in therapy for life.
Mm-mm.
You know, you can just learn some tools and run with them. So we wish you the best, CG. We love you. We just like
we
feel like we know you. It's like looking, you know, in a mirror back 25 years, you mm-hmm. know. And we would love to hear how things go with Maggie. So please write us back, sweetheart.
Yeah.
And take good care. Now, Joss.
Mm-hmm.
This week.
Yeah.
We got a real winner.
Of an embarrassing personal problem.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I know.
I'm here for this.
Will you read it? Will you read it?
I actually don't have it in front of me. If you swing your computer around.
I don't have it anymore. I don't know what happened to it.
Let me call it.
I was looking for it earlier today.
What comes to mind? What are like the taglines?
of the embarrassing personal problem?
It's just
diarrhea.
So,
I mean, you know, that's always been a winner with us.
You know, there's nothing we love
more than diarrhea.
Okay. All right, I'm ready. I'm just going to let my computer ding because I haven't checked my email all day today.
Yeah,
there, we're done.
Yeah.
Okay. Dear Kristen and Joss,
mm-hmm.
it took me a while to unravel the mystery of what I am about to share
I'm
with you.
I'm so on board already. I am.
I would categorize myself as an astute and observant student of life, but I did not see this one coming. And unlike other embarrassing personal stories where the epiphany is discovered in the privacy of one's own home or bathroom, this one was not that at all. This one was caught on tape.
Yes! Yes!
God.
Logging on to an important Zoom talk, a visiting speaker, an inspirational voice from another corner of the art world. So many had signed up for this talk months ago. It had been on my calendar. I put makeup on, my funky clothes. It's going to be a round table, interactive. I'm going to look my best. I get my Zoom zone ready. I love that Zoom zone. Best lighting, cool snippet of my world can be seen on camera. I am as cool as I will ever be, I guess. I am loving the talk, leaning in. It is so refreshing to talk about esoteric things. I casually put my hand to my chin and mouth. I look like an intellectual, sophisticated thinker. Professorial. I mean,
that's a great word.
I mean, come on. Rodin's the thinker did it. At least I am not naked and on the loo.
which as a person doing telehealth,
yeah.
I just want to say thank you. Oh my gosh, thank you. Okay.
I am in my Zoom frame of coolness when suddenly a tickling in my nostril from my hand. What was that? Again, the intense tickling makes me shake my head, jerk it back, and sniff wide-eyed. Oh my god. The long hair on my knuckles went up my nostrils and caused me to not once but twice jerk my head back in surprise. What's up with that? When did my knuckle hair
I'm checking my knuckles right now.
Do they grow faster in a pandemic? Did anyone see that and discern what was actually going on? Or are they just concerned about my sudden head jerks? Mortified. I did what so many of us do in these embarrassing personal problems. I pretended nothing had happened, ignored the confused look on my colleagues' faces, and ran for the razor once the meeting was over.
So here's what's really funny about that letter is Kristen sent it to me today, and I was reading it this morning before I got up for work, and I wrote back to her. I was like, is this you? This is you, isn't it?
and shockingly, dear listeners, it was not. Which doesn't mean that I'm not due for another hand wax, which we have discussed in previous episodes, my adventures in self-waxing. So thank you for sharing that embarrassing personal problem. I think we are all going to pay more attention to our hand hair.
I'm looking right now. Without a doubt.
Yes. And we appreciate you.
Thanks for listening. Send your letters to theladies@crappyfriends.net and please consider leaving us a review.
Crappy Friends is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Find more podcasts you'll love at frolic.media/podcasts.
I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Joss Day.
And we're best friends.
Forever.